Praise the Lord. I love the hymns. Nothing better. Amen. I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me, if you would, in the book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16, as we stand to our feet. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 30. Verse number 30. Now, I want you to have your Bibles open tonight. We'll just look at a few things and try to see just a few things. The Bible says in verse number 30, that talking about the prison keeper, says, "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. It took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Now, I want that to be our closing spot tonight. We're going to look at things leading up to this. But I want to preach on this thought. Don't look at the problems. Look at the possibilities. Don't look at the problems. Look at the possibilities. Let's pray. Father, we need Thee. I need Thee to do something special and mighty in my life. Lord, I pray that You'd have Your way. Lord, may I be tender to the Spirit. And Lord, may we hear from heaven. And I pray we'll be encouraged through Thy Word tonight. And we'll thank You, and we'll praise You. For it's in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Paul, of course, is on his second missionary journey. He's gone out one other time and established churches here and there. Lots of wonderful things have happened. And the first time, of course, he was with Barnabas. This time we find that Paul's with Silas. In chapter number 15, verse 36, we see that through verse number 41 that Barnabas and John go one way and Paul and Silas go another way. And we find in chapter number 16, it starts out with Paul and Silas going through some certain areas. And the Bible teaches us that they go to Derbe and to Lystra, which is cities in close proximity to one another. And there they find a young man named Timothy. No doubt Timothy is somebody that had been saved in a previous journey. And we find that Timothy was a disciple, and his mother was a Jew. His father was a Gentile, and he had been raised up, according to everything that we read, he had been raised up with his mother teaching him some wonderful things. And he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And while they're there in the cities, the Bible teaches us that they go through the cities and they deliver the decrees, or they help them to make firm their decisions to keep. And they ordain apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 5, on this journey, the churches in these cities were established. Now that means they were strengthened. There's something unusual about this missionary journey. This missionary journey, Paul leaves Antioch and he goes through a certain way and he comes through these cities, and we find that there's a long time before anything really happens as far as missionary. He's not starting churches, but he's going in strengthening the churches that have already been started in his first missionary journey. And we find that he comes to this place and he calls out Timothy. And Paul has something about him that draws people like a magnet, somebody that loves the Lord. And he brings people and he teaches them and he trains them. And Paul finds Timothy and he says, "I need Timothy to go with me." Can you imagine how Timothy must have felt? Now, if I think about something like that, my heart starts pounding. I think, what would it be like to travel with Paul? No doubt, Timothy was ready for some excitement and for adventure. He was thinking, we're going to be running from all these different people. And you know what? We may be beaten, but boy, it's for the Lord. I can just imagine. And so, Paul and him are here, and they're in Asia. And I believe Paul has a desire to go to Asia, but the Spirit of God doesn't allow that to happen. Paul's so sensitive to the guidance of the Spirit of God. The Bible says in verse number 6, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the Word in Asia. In other words, they didn't start any churches, they didn't do anything, they just strengthened those maybe along the way, but they were on a mission. And they weren't going to stop till they got to where the Spirit of God said, we need to stop. And they go on, and verse number 7 says, and they were come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now, we have to be guided by the Spirit of God, do we not? The Spirit of God was not directing them to do these things. And the Bible says they passing through Mysia, came down to Troas. And this is a port city in the Aegean Sea. And I imagine these men that were with Paul were all excited. And they thought, this is where he's trying to get us to, because Troas was an important city. It was near Troy. And Troy was a legendary city. And they thought, boy, if there's a place, if we can start something here that can reach the world. But they didn't stop at Troas. They didn't. That's not what their goal was. That's not what their mission was. And while they were in Troas, the Bible says that a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And we sing the song, we have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. I'm telling you tonight, what we need to understand is that we must be led by the Spirit of God. And we find that there's somebody else that gets with him here. There's a man by the name of Luke who's writing the book of Acts through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And if you'll notice, the dictation here or the words go from they and them to we and to us. The Bible says in verse number 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel. So we and us are called to preach the gospel in Macedonia. So the gospel's going to Europe. I'm glad, aren't you? You know where the gospel came to us from? Europe. God led Paul to Europe to start churches, and men and women and boys and girls in Europe got a burden. And there was a day when America needed some churches, and guess what happened? From Europe the gospel came. That's wonderful. Missionaries were saying, we're going to go over there to die. We're going to go over there and do whatever it takes. But there's a call to go west and to preach the gospel. They came from Europe. But we see that the Spirit of God forbid them to go into Asia and to Bithynia. And the Bible teaches us that now there's four men traveling together that we know of, maybe more, four. It was Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke. And the Bible says in verse number 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia. I can't say that one. And the next day to Neapolis. Now, this Samothracia was a little island. You go from Troas, and the Bible says they came straight course, took a straight shot up to this little island. And they're staying there. And the next day, the Bible says, they leave from there. And they go to Neapolis. They're headed to Philippi. They're on their way to Philippi because this is the leading of the Spirit of God. The Bible teaches us from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. We were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath day we went out to the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Apparently there was no synagogue, because the first place that Paul would go to when he got into a city, if he was going there to start a church, to plant a church, to give the gospel, he would go into the synagogue. And he had great standing in the synagogue because of his training, because of his heritage, because of where he came from. He could go in and he could speak as a leader of a synagogue. He had great understanding of these things. But their laws would say there had to be 10 men. In order to form, it didn't matter how many women, but they had to have 10 men in order to form a synagogue, to have something that was officially there to fulfill their religious practices. And Paul knew at Philippi that that wasn't the case. There was no synagogue. But he knew there were some women that loved the Lord. And he goes down to the riverside. And he speaks to a group of women. And they're captured by what he has to say. He stands up and he begins to preach the gospel. And to tell them what Jesus Christ has done in his life. And you can only imagine what must have been taking place and how their hearts must have been thrilled as they were listening to Paul describe maybe his experience on Damascus Road, or maybe about souls being saved in other places, maybe about a little bus kid, you know, that came riding on a bus and had no home and no family. And they were just listening to the mercy of God and to the grace of God and what God has done. And I'm telling you, they were captured. But what Paul was saying, and there was a woman there by the name of Lydia that trusted Christ. She was a good woman. She was a Gentile. A good woman. She was from Thyatira. She was a seller of purple. Now I can only imagine as she trusts the Lord Jesus as Savior. And the Bible teaches us that she follows the Lord in believer's baptism. She goes down to the water. Can you imagine? She's got on, no doubt, some very nice clothes, and people are looking on, and they're just amazed at this woman with these nice clothes, because apparently she was a woman of high standing. And there, she gets saved, and she gets baptized. But not soon, not long after that, they run into another woman, a certain damsel, if you will, was full of the devil. The Bible teaches us here in verse number 16, says it came to pass we went to prayer, and a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. But listen to what she says. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. I want you to know that's one of the tricks of the devil. He starts out many times with the truth to get you to believe a lie. And here's somebody that's a soothsayer, that's a psychic, if you will. And she has demonic power, devilish power. And she can predict the future. And she can tell you certain things that you wouldn't think anybody else would know. And she's bringing a whole lot of gain to some men that she's working for. So here's a lady that's a seller of purple, a lady of high class to get saved. But then here's a lady that's possessed by the devil. And we find that Paul commands the devil to come out of her. Look at what the Bible says. This she did many days, verse 18. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Well, this made people mad. This made her masters angry. They were so angry and so upset that the Bible teaches us that they brought Paul and Silas into the marketplace unto the rulers, and they said, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. And then they talked about themselves being Romans, teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe. The Bible says the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who have received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So we've seen two people converted to the Lord. We've seen Lydia, a seller of fine purple. We've seen a certain damsel, a lady that was possessed by the devil. So we're seeing two ends of the spectrum. And we find out that this really makes the people mad, because this was dealing with their money, you know? You want to know what people get upset over more than anything is their money. Right? You know, I think about our presidential race. I think about how it's going to... It's not about race or gender. We need to pray and ask God, who do you want us to vote for? And follow the Lord. And say, God, what's best? What's right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. But you're going to hear more about this, more about the economy. And, you know, we're going to hear all kinds of things. And you're going to hear, here's how we solve it, here's how we solve it. And people are going to say, well, it's all about the economy. It's all about the economy. Well, when it comes to God, God's going to provide for His children. We read just this past Sunday, the Bible says, I have been young and now I'm very old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. And here's one of the things that every one of us could say. It does not matter what the economy is. It does not matter if we have a little bit more in the bank or a little bit less in the bank. It seems somehow God always comes through. So we need to put our faith in God. We need to do the right thing. You say, who are you voting for? Look, it doesn't matter who I'm voting for. I don't care who you vote for. But here's one thing I do care about. I care about us doing what God wants us to do. And to understand that everything we do affects our country. That affects our family. But the most important thing is to be guided by the Spirit of God. Now, why did Paul not go to Asia? Because you know there was a field wide open there, because the Spirit of God said, you can't go. Why didn't he go to Bithynia? Because the Spirit of God said, you can't go. And so he sends them to Troas, and then he sends them to the island. Then they go over to Neapolis. They find their way up in Philippi, and in Philippi, there's a lady named Lydia saved. There's a certain damsel that's been filled with the spirit of divination that the Spirit's cast out, and she gets saved, and now they're in prison. How in the world could that be good? The Spirit of God put Paul and Silas in jail. We have a problem. Paul says, no. We have a possibility. There's a lot of times in our life we get so busy looking at the problems that we fail to see the possibility. And Paul, just a few chapters earlier, was one of the ones casting people into prison for what he's now cast into prison for. Isn't that amazing? We don't see him fussing or fighting. We don't see him griping or groaning. We just see that he's cast into prison. And I want us to see some things. They're prisoners of the world. The Bible says in verse number 23, when they laid many stripes upon him, they cast him into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust him to the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So here's Paul and Silas following the Spirit of God. They didn't go to Asia. They didn't go to Bithynia. They didn't even stop in a lot of these cities along the way. I mean, they went through Mysia. They just went through it without stopping in Mysia because they were in a hurry to get it where it was that God was guiding them. And when they get there, they end up in prison. Prisoners of the world. But these men are not like other men. These men aren't like the world today. We get so up in the air about things, and we let things bother us, and we let things affect us, and we let things get to us, and we get so defeated and so discouraged and so downtrodden. When God is teaching us, we don't need to be looking so much at the problems as looking at the possibility. You say, well, I'm in a financial bind. Well, if you're living right, if you'll do the right things in your life, God will take care of that. He's not going to make you a millionaire. He might. But God's going to take care of that. You know, sickness is something that we think is terrible, and terminal illnesses, but the end of life is eternal life. That's victory. Sometimes we have to look beyond the problem and see the possibilities. So they're prisoners of the world. But they're also prayer warriors. The Bible says in verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. You want to know what Baptist preachers today would be doing? Oh, boo, hoo, hoo. Why me? Except for those few that are out there that are trying to get thrown into jail so that they can mark it on their belt, you know? And there are those that are out there that's just trying to, you know, they're always trying to fight this and fight that and fight the government. And to them, it's a trophy to get thrown in jail. You know what? That's ridiculous. Paul and Silas. They said, everybody around them, no doubt, maybe even Luke and Timothy. You know, by the way, Luke and Timothy, they weren't there. You want to know why? Because they were Gentile. Right? You understand that? Paul and Silas were Jews. And these Romans, they, They weren't going to put these Gentiles in, but they were ready to get those Jews. And they said, these guys being Jews, they're causing an uproar in the city. And so they get them and they cast them into prison. And look, we've got a problem. And Paul says, no, we can pray. I'm not going to waste my time in prison by crying out about all the problems. I'm going to go to the one that can solve the problem. And at midnight, they prayed. Not only were they prayers, they were praisers. The Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and did what? Sang praises unto the Lord. I'm in jail. I'm in stocks, bonds, probably on my knees, probably have nothing. You can imagine, in jail, maybe head, you know what I'm talking about? You know, and all of a sudden they start singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved. Now I know they didn't sing that, it wasn't around then. But you understand what I'm saying? Maybe it was one of those songs. Maybe it was, I love the Lord because. I like that, don't you? Psalm 116, let's look at it real quick. Every time I think of it, we have to stop. I think it's become one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. I just wonder if maybe they weren't singing, I love the Lord because. And they were determined that they were going to pray and praise God. They were prayer warriors. They were praisers of the Lord. And by the way, they were possessors of the Word, because they were carrying the gospel message everywhere they went. Verse 32, they continued to give the gospel. The Bible says they spake unto Him the Word of the Lord. So Paul and Silas had a divine appointment. It wasn't what they set out thinking would happen. It wasn't what they set out saying, boy, I hope we end up in jail. But they were just following the Spirit of God. They were following wherever He guided them. Asia, what a land of opportunity to preach the gospel. Bithynia, what a place! What a need! How many churches can be started? How many people can be reached? How many souls can be saved? But the Spirit of God says, no. You can't go there. No, you can't preach there. You're going this way. And they go west. They go west. They go west. They end up in Philippi. And they end up in prison. Because God had a divine appointment for Paul and Silas to meet a man, a jailer. And he knew that Paul and Silas was going to have to go this way. But he knew when he got there, Paul and Silas wouldn't be so busy looking at the problem, they'd be finding the possibility. I love this passage of Scripture. We overlook some wonderful things in it, and I'm going to be very quick. In just a moment, we're going to go right through it. But you noticed, we talk about them being prayer warriors and praisers. Look, they were not ashamed of their faith. Did you notice what the Bible says? The Bible says in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I think about how we share our faith sometimes, you know? Or how, like, when we start talking about the blessings of God, if we're in a restaurant or something, we start talking about the blessings of God. Maybe it's on a Sunday afternoon and we're in a restaurant, we're talking about the blessings of God and what God did. And all of a sudden, you know, we've been talking, did you see the football? Did you see, boy, my team won, your team lost, you know. And you're talking about all these things. And then start saying, boy, wasn't that a good service in church today? know. Man, wasn't that good? Didn't it get you excited when you saw Sister So-and-so raising her hand and praising the Lord? Wasn't something thrilling about that? Shh, shh. Shh. Somebody might hear us. Don't get too loud. We can get loud about everything, but I think it's time we got loud about our faith, about our Savior. Now, I'm not talking about being belligerent about it. I'm not talking about being obnoxious with it. But I'm talking about being real. You want to know why we get real excited when we talk about maybe a ball game or we talk about a certain event or we talk about certain things? It's because we love it. We ought to love the Lord enough to get excited to tell others. Boy, did you see? What, could you believe it? We've been praying for that man for months and months, and he come down and he got saved. That's exciting, isn't it? Y'all remember the day Marco got saved? Wasn't that exciting? I'm convinced, and God forgive me, everywhere I went, I should have been mentioning that to somebody. We've had a man that we've been praying for months, maybe over a year. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. I want to tell you something. God's able. We ought not be ashamed. We'll not be afraid of it. So they were prayer warriors, praisers of the Lord, possessors of the Word of God. They had a divine appointment. And great things will happen when you don't always see the problem, but instead you see the possibility. I'm going to show you what it led them to. The Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out. Here's the prison keeper. It's his responsibility. Paul and Silas are in the inner jail. That's a jail cell inside. I mean, listen, these people were afraid. They said, we heard about Peter. You know, Peter went to the Greeks and Paul and him were going to these Romans, and it was just clear things. And no doubt they probably heard about things that had happened, and they're thinking, you know what's really happened is just some of those Christians have gone in there and they broke them out and they're giving all the glory to the Lord. So we're going to put them inside a jail cell that's inside of a jail cell, and there's no way that they can get loose. But I want to tell you something, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what you're going through, it doesn't matter how far away you may think you are away from everything, God is there if you're one of His children. And here they are in the jail cell, inside of a jail cell, and the earthquake comes, and the wall crumbles down, the doors are swung open wide, can you imagine? And the jailer looks and says, this is the end of my life, but I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of killing me tomorrow, I'm going to kill myself right now. Takes out his sword, ready to take his own life. And all of a sudden he hears a voice, Paul says, hold on! Me and Silas are here. That's not what he said. Look what he said. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now, I read between the lines. They all heard. And something got a hold of them. It could have been Paul and Silas said, you ain't going anywhere, boy. I'm not going to let you out of here. You try to get out of here, it's me you're going to have to face. I don't know. Or it could have been through that praying and praising, their lives were changed. But all I know is that they were all there. That's a miracle. And notice what the Bible says that this jailer did. Then he called for light. And he jumped in there. Why doesn't the Bible say he walked in? The Bible says he sprang in. Can you imagine? Ready to take his own life. And all of a sudden Paul says, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Man, he grabs a light and he's... I mean, he... If Paul and him would have been busy looking at the problem and not seeing the possibility of what God could do, what you're reading about would not be in the Bible tonight. It would have never happened. But Paul and Silas decided they were going to put their faith in God. And here's the result. of what happened with this Philippian jailer. Number one, very quickly, I mean, this is it. Notice the pressing question. Verse number 30, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" When you live a life that's real and you're seeing the possibility instead of always focusing upon the problems, always viewing the problems, always seeing the problems, when you start seeing the possibilities of what God can do, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Others are going to see it and they're going to say, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Yeah. You want to know the reason that there's not a bunch of people being saved in our world today? Because this life's not real to too many Christians. But it was real to Paul and Silas. They were prayer warriors. They were praisers of the Lord. They were possessors of the Word. They knew what they had to do, and they knew they had a God that was able to help them to get it done. So we see the pressing questions. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Number two, we see the permanent answer. Because the answer they gave is the same answer we can give. You know what he said? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? What a question. Paul says, I've got the answer. Here it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say turn from your sin. He said believe on the Lord. I said that Sunday. I know I gave a little talk on that. And preachers get up and they talk about repent. I believe in repentance. I understand that. But I don't believe in the same definition a lot of these guys use with it. I believe repentance is turning to God. It's having a change of mind that God's right, you know. But if it's turning from sins, I want to tell you something. I still battle sin. It shackles me so many times in my life. And if it was turning from sin that saved me, then I'm lost as a goose. But it was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the permanent answer. But then look, the promised future. And thou shalt be saved. Now, I could spend a lot of time on this, but I want to get you all out of here before 9 o'clock. I had a lot of introduction. But what a future. Saved. Saved by His power divine. Saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet, and my joy, it's complete. You don't know why? For I'm saved, saved, saved. I found a friend that's all to me. His love is ever true. That's wonderful, isn't it? What a future! Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Hey, jailer, guess what? And your house. No, your house isn't saved because you're saved. But if your house will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved and they'll have a future too. Oh, what a future. That's exciting. Then I want you to see a perfect decision. Verse 33. He took them the same hour that night and washed their stripes. Verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in the house, and took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Was baptized, he and all his straightway. You know what happened? He gave them the word of the Lord. They trusted Christ. Because if you read the writings of Paul, you're going to find out that baptism does not come until after you're saved. Don't get it out of order. It's after you're saved. They made a perfect decision. That perfect decision was to follow Jesus Christ, his Savior. And then, I want you to see finally, they had a praising household. The Bible says in verse number 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his... Oh, we got a problem. We've walked in the will of God. We've been guided by the Spirit of God. We could have went to Asia. We could have went to Bithynia. But no, we go to Troas and then to the island in the sea. And then we go to Neapolis and we go to Philippi. And things start out good. There's no synagogue. But there's some ladies over there praying. And Lydia, she gets saved. And then there's that woman that's filled with that evil spirit. And she gets saved. And boy, that just brought all kinds of problems. And you know, I'm just sick of my life. Because it seems like every time I try to do good, evil is present. Every time I want things to go one way, they go another way. Problems. 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 Paul says, possibilities! 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 It was God that wouldn't let me go to Asia. It was God that wouldn't let me go to Bithynia. It was God that brought me to Troas and put me on the boat and sent me up to the island and the next day over to Neapolis. And it was God that brought me into Philippi. It was God that allowed me to lead Lydia to the Lord. It was God that allowed me to cast that evil spirit out of her. And it was God that put me in prison. And I want you to know, it was God that delivered me out of prison and delivered that man and his family out of the chains of hell and the chains of darkness. There's no problem here. It's just the workings of God. Amen. And we need to get our eyes off the problems and see the possibility. Amen. May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. I pray thy precious will be done. Yes. Lord, may we be obedient unto thee in this time of invitation. Lord, if we've been so busy looking at the problems, Lord, may we find the possibility.